Today's program has been brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a social media marketing platform dedicated to promoting the world's great brewers and the beers they create. For more information, visit GreatBrewers.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal. I'm joined tonight by my good buddy Dave Broderick from the Blind Tiger, Worthy Kitchen, Worthy Burger, Worthy Truck, the Vermont Dynasty.
Hey, Jimmy.
He's down in New York. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Dude, I miss you. You've been working so hard. You didn't even go to Cooperstown this year.
I know. This is like my vacation, coming down to visit you. It's nice to get away.
Well, it's nice to have you. So you said on the way over, you know, you've been the owner of Blind Tiger forever, and you've kind of been doing all these things in Vermont. But who was at your place this afternoon? All your business partners and your buddies?
Yeah, I had Brian Delaney. We've been together since 96, and he basically owns and operates the Spring Lounge, and then Bobby Gagnon, who owns and operates the Gate. We've all sort of been partners for a very long time.
Well, you've been a big part of the beer scene, and this is probably the first show that you've ever been on where you didn't know all the brewers. Like, when we first started, it was like every brewer in America knew Dave Broderick. And now you've been spending so much time in Vermont.
Yeah, I'm out of it now.
Now we just know of Dave Broderick. So he's more legendary.
I'm a rumor.
We got the guys from Yonkers, one of the newer breweries in the state, Yonkers Brewing. We got John and Nick and Sharif. And but the real story tonight, we finally got them down here from Keegan Ales up in Kingston. We got Jeff Wenzel and Tommy Keegan, who we've only had on the phone before. Tommy,
great
to have you on the show. And we're going to try to talk to you mostly tonight. So let's get started. You opened a brewery in Kingston, and somehow you learned how to make good beer.
Somehow I learned how to make good beer, right? Well, actually, I think, how to make beer at school. I went to UC Davis, got my master's in brewing science there. And then it wasn't like it is today. That was 15 years ago, I guess. The market was a different place. I couldn't get a good brewing job, so I had to go back to science. I worked at SUNY Stony Brook for a while in a lab, and then I was good friends with the guys from the Blue Point Brewing Company, and I would go down every weekend and beg them for a job, and they finally grew to the point where they needed a brewmaster, or a head brewer at least, and I was there waiting. So I worked for them for a while, and then found this building in Kingston that, believe it or not, nobody would buy this building, this abandoned building in a bad neighborhood in Kingston, because there was a brewery stuck in it. So that's
only 10 years
love.
Ago. It was a very different time then, wasn't it?
It really was, yeah. It was really a different time. There's, you know, many more breweries than there were a decade ago, which is cool. It's been fun to watch my own industry grow and us all work on the same, pushing in the same direction.
What was that old brewery that was in there?
It was the home of the Woodstock Brewing Company.
Ah.
Remember those guys?
I do remember those guys.
Yeah, sure.
And they just sort of walked away from the equipment and the business?
Yeah. What they did was, at the end, the founder of the company, Nat Collins, who's a great guy, he ended up selling out. He just got burned out after, I think, about a decade. He sold to some guys, and then they were floundering, and they took out some municipal loans with the city, and the city took the brewing equipment as collateral. And then when they failed on it, the city got stuck with this broken-down brewery, and that's where I kind of came in. The guy that was trying to sell the building and the building next door, I ended up having to buy too to get, you know, the whole package, put it together. But he was starting to threaten to charge the city rent if they didn't get this brewery out of here, because having a beat up old brewery was keeping him from being able to sell the building to another business. So luckily I knew somebody in City Hall that was the city attorney at the time, and it was her problem. And she said, "I know this kid, Tommy Keegan. Let's sucker him into buying this building, you know." And so I was actually leaving Blue Point to go back to the pharmaceutical world, because I had a mortgage on Long Island and, you know, needed to make some money. So I went from a low-paying, stable job to a way less paying and less stable life. But I was 32 and figured, you know, what the heck, if you don't roll the dice once in a while. If I don't do it now, I'm not going to do it, you know.
So, Tommy, are you from Kingston?
No, I'm originally from Long Island.
So how'd you end up in Kingston?
There was an empty building there.
Yeah, how did you even find out about it?
That's where the building was. It was cheaper to move me to Kingston than to move a building.
How did you find out about it?
My family, I have a lot of family in Kingston. So Kingston's kind of like my family's second hometown. My father's sister, my aunt, she married a guy who his family's been in Kingston since before the Revolutionary War, back when it was a colony. So we've got a lot of family history there. I have three aunts that own businesses and all live locally. So I got a lot of big family base. So that's how I kind of got turned on to the concept in the first place.
So it's their fault.
It's their fault, correct.
Hey, so Tommy and Jeff, what is the beer we're drinking? It's this like kind of seriously oak-aged.
Yeah, this is our bourbon-aged mother's milk. So we got some barrels on trade from Tuttletown in Gardner, New York, which is about 20 minutes, half hour south of us. And they were fairly wet barrels, and we just filled them up with some mother's milk, let them age for about 6-7 months, and then bottle conditioned.
Dave, did you get some?
I did. It's delicious.
This is pretty awesome.
Yeah,
beer.
I really like it.
It's nothing like coming on the show and have everybody bring their best beers. I know you guys also brought some Super Kitty and some other things, so we're looking forward to trying all that.
Yeah, we brought Super Kitty and our actually, we haven't released it yet, but our sour beer. Still tinkering on the name. Not sure what we're going to call it.
Black Sour.
But I think we might call it Black Sour. It's a Black Sour Ale made with pretty much all lactobacillus.
You know, one of the coolest things I did this summer, I went up to Kingston and ended up at Keegan's Brewery and got to meet Tommy. And it's definitely worth the trip going up there. I mean, you're also kind of up there in the Hudson Valley. There's not too many other breweries around there, are there?
Not too many. They're starting to pop up around a little bit, but when we were there first, and there's really not a lot around as far as breweries go in our neck of the woods, especially packaged brewing companies. There's a couple of small guys that are popping up that are doing a really good job. A couple of kids in Newburg we're doing a project with them, which is kind of funny because we went to their brewery, and it was literally a one-car garage in this guy, you know, Sloop. Oh, in Poughkeepsie. Yeah, you're right. But the Newburg guys are doing great. We're friends with those guys. There's a bunch of guys that are just starting to pop up around. Crossroads is doing a good job. They're starting to see their beer around here down in the city a little bit once in a while. But, yeah, you're right. We're kind of up there by ourselves a little bit.
You got
compared
a lot
to here, at least.
You got a lot of New York City chefs slowly moving out there up to Hudson, which is a lot further up.
Yeah, we get a lot of New York City chefs moving up. A lot of great restaurants coming up as well. Like the whole Hudson Valley food industry, not just from restaurants, but from that whole farm-to-table kind of movement is really taking some serious hold. We just got done doing an event where we were supporting these farmers that are trying to grow hops commercially. Hudson Valley used to be a really big capital of the country for hop growing, and we're trying to bring that industry back too. So it's again, just really cool and very exciting. It's fun to be a part of something that, you know, we're all on the same page. You know, I'm sure there aren't too many other industries where we all, you know, play nicely together. I just talked to the owner of the Captain Lawrence Brewing Company today and told him I need to borrow his equipment so I can sell some beer. And he's like, yeah, no problem. Just stop by and grab it, you know. I'm sure Steve Jobs and Bill Gates didn't have those conversations, you know.
Let's go back to when you started. We got a lot of things going on the show, but I really want to talk more about you. It was 2003. You were in Kingston. You got this old brewery, and like, what did you do when you went in there? I mean, did you have to clean it? I mean, was everything ready to go?
I mean, you know, started Jeff's rolling weed. I mean, no, I didn't say that. You can't run a good brewery. Anyway, yeah, well, Jeff was with me. He was one of the first guys to start working with me and is still with me decade later. But really, that's exactly what we did is we started to clean. I got the building in the springtime of 2003, and, you know, breweries are made out of rubber gaskets and stainless steel. So we just changed all the rubber gaskets and scrubbed every piece of stainless steel and put it all back together again. And we started brewing beer. Oh, we brewed beer the first day. It was my mother's birthday, August 1st, 2003. And then September 1st, we were up and running and selling beer and getting drinking.
And but there's a lot of scrubbing.
How did you, in terms of the beers that you offer, obviously the milk stout, how did you like decide to really focus on what you wound up focusing on?
Well, I saw a lot of small breweries making a lot of different beers all the time. I know that's kind of the standard. And we have a very small brewery, or relatively small brewery. I used to work at the Anchor Brewery. I was trained, and my professors sent me to Budweiser. They wanted me to go work in big breweries. But I walked into this small brewery and realized that I had very limited resources. So I focused on three beers. There were maybe, what was it, 5 years before we made a fourth beer? We opened up with our Old Capital, Hurricane Kitty, and Mother's Milk, our Golden Ale, our IPA, and our Stout. And I figured the fewer moving parts, the fewer things there were to screw up. And, you know, it's one thing if you're a brew pub and you make a beer and it tastes different from the one before it, but consistency was very important to me. So by focusing on those three brands and, you know, focusing on consistency, that's really where what drove me in that direction.
That's great. This is we have someone on the line right now. Cool. There's an event coming up, and I know some of the breweries here are showcased. It's a Brooklyn Pour that's produced by Village Voice. We have someone on the line right now. Hey, who is it?
Hey, hi there, guys.
How are you?
This is Rosemary Jorda. I'm the event director over at
Brooklyn
Pour.
Oh, hey, Rosemary. How are you?
Good. How are you
doing?
Good.
I didn't know you were calling in. Thanks for calling
in.
Yeah,
no problem.
All right. So what's going on with Brooklyn Pour? Do you have Keegan's or Yonkers in the mix?
We don't, and I'm a little sad listening to this because you guys aren't coming.
Why aren't we coming?
I don't know. We had sent it out to you guys. I think it's the Great American Beer Expo the same weekend, so I think a lot of folks are out of town on the 12th of October.
Oh, it's the JBF.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Tommy, you guys are going out to Colorado this year?
Yeah. And by say yes, we guys are going out. I'm sending those guys out, but somebody's got to stay back and watch the fort. I got to go out last year, so I'm going to stay back and let these guys.
And what about and John, you guys from Yonkers, are you guys at the Brooklyn Pour event?
No, not this year. We have three other events this year, one of them being the grand opening of Pinch, our buddy James up there, and some of the stuff they're doing
that
up
great
Empire
big
City
beer
Casino,
restaurant with 100 taps.
Yeah,
and
Yonkers all of our
Raceway,
house beers.
Yeah.
Yep. So we'll be up there.
Wow.
Well, yeah, it's a popular date.
Well, Rosa, so tell us a couple of the other breweries that we should know about who are going to be there at Brooklyn Pour.
We're really excited. We've got a lot of the New York area coming. We've got two brand new ones we haven't had before. We've got Barrier Brewing coming from Oceanside.
Cool.
So, yeah, those guys were hit by Sandy. You know, they've reopened. We're excited. They're bringing a butternut squash ale, which sounds delicious. And
I think they call it the Sasquatch.
Three heads.
Yeah, the Sasquatch.
Coming.
All right.
Yeah.
And how can we? And you have some people. You have our colleagues, Chris Kuzme and Mary Isette from Ferment about it.
We do. They are doing. We have a Beer Talks programming that we're doing part of the event. We've got a Beer Talk every hour, and those guys are presenting urban home brewing.
All right. Well, Rosemary, thanks for calling it. And how can we get tickets and find out more about Brooklyn Pour?
Sure, yeah. We've got about 150 beers from about 68 brewers. We just sold out a VIP, and we've got our regular tickets on sale. And you guys can go to villagevoice.com/Brooklyn Pour for more information.
All right.
Rosemary, is there still time for me to get some Keegan Ales down there? Or?
There is, and I would love if you did.
I would love to. Email me, jeff@KeeganAles.com.
With and, a G. And ladies out there,
with a G.
Email Jeff. What is it, Jeff?
Jeff with a G. G-E-O-F-F.
You know, he's got a fan base out there. They're showing up with super kitties just for him. I know. All right. Cool. Well, you know what, Rosemary? Yeah, it doesn't get much better than that. You got the great guys from Keegan and Yonkers here. So thanks for checking in, okay?
Awesome.
Good
thanks
luck
for
with the event.
Guys.
We'll be there, and we'll see you there. And the funny thing is, just so you guys know, like what the world of Beer Sessions Radio is Cider Week's coming up. And my good buddy Steve Wood, who's the founder, farmer, cider maker from Farnham Hill up in New Hampshire, he called me three times, and I can't answer because I'm on. But Steve, if you're listening,
he's not going
to
stop.
Yes, you will come to Cider Week. Yes, you'll be at Jimmy's number 43 on October 19th for the Harvest Beer and Cider Sessions. Yes, we'll do the beer dinner with you on Monday, October 21st at Jimmy's number 43. But hey, why not? Come on, Dave. Quick thing before we're going to take a short break, but Dave. What the hell is going on with you? Vermont, Worthy, you're like Worthy World something.
Yeah. Too worthy. We just opened up a new place a month ago today called Worthy Kitchen. It's our test kitchen for new food concepts that we want to do in the Upper Valley in our area. And it's going well. It's the biggest restaurant I've ever done. About 120 seats, including
outside. You know, I think Vermont's like the hottest thing now because there's hardly anything, right? You're like, there's hardly any good restaurants. There's hardly any, but whatever's going on is really good, right?
Now there's a lot of stuff. So, you know, obviously up in Burlington, there's a lot of great restaurants. And Waterbury has where the Alchemist is, Hetty Topper. A lot of great restaurants. And down where we were, not much. It's kind of like the 1970s down there. Even with craft beer, it's like, even though craft beer is so big in Vermont, in our area, it was very underrepresented. And basically, the first place we opened, Worthy Burger, was just so we had a place to go ourselves.
It was like the Kingston of 10 years ago.
Exactly. I felt like, and when we opened, I was actually working behind the bar because we couldn't even find people to work there. And I really felt like it was 1996 at the old Blind Tiger original, like starting from scratch, because people, like, I had like kind of a, I didn't think it was a very big time list, but people were just like, I only know Long Trail. I'm like, okay, so we're starting from scratch.
All right.
So, but it's been great.
Yeah, I know we tried to get some Vermont beers recently, and you know, everyone's like, well, you can't get Hill Farmstead, you can't get, well, Lawson's doesn't come down here, so you know, I think you guys also need to make more beer in Vermont.
Though Sean Lawson just did a collaboration with Otter Creek, and I think they made like 500 barrels of this thing, of a double IPA called Double Dose, and that is coming down to New York City relatively soon, and We actually went over with our Worthy Burger trailer to do the opening of that collaboration on Saturday, and they told me that it was going to be available in New York City. So
that's awesome. Hey, let's give one shout out to our sponsor, GreatBrewers.com. Thanks again. This is like your fourth year sponsoring us. You guys are awesome. All right, we're gonna take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
You're listening to Onions Milk by Iggy Dean on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
So, you like good beer. Whether you're a craft beer pro or just had your first sip of an IPA, GreatBrewers.com is your number one beer resource on the internet. GreatBrewers.com bridges the gap between the world's great brewers and the consumers who enjoy their products. With so much information and misinformation out there, GreatBrewers.com focuses on education and leaves no stone unturned. Take the Great Beer Test on their website and browse through an extensive product catalog. Download their mobile Beer Cloud app, which includes a GPS beer finder, a beer sommelier, and descriptions for over 5,000 different brews. What are you waiting for? Back up that passion for craft beer with some solid information and education. Visit GreatBrewers.com today.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Hey, it's Jimmy Carbone. I'm getting called by Steve Wood from Farm Hill, my favorite cider maker, and we're getting ready for Cider Week. But Steve, stop calling me. I'm on there. But we got Tommy. This is like crazy night. Dave Broderick, I worship this guy, best bar owner in the world, Blind Tiger, Worthy's, everything in Vermont. We got the Tommy Keegan and Jeff from Keegan's up in Kingston, New York, and they've got great stories, and we're talking more about that. And we got the new young guys from Yonkers Brewing in Yonkers, so it's a great show. But right now on the air, do we have him on right now, Chase?
Yep.
Chase from Prairie. Chase, why don't you just tell us your name and tell us the brewery, because we're all here kind of getting drunk, so.
Very nice. Yes, my name is Chase Healy with Prairie Artisan Ales. How's that?
Hey, Chase.
That was perfect.
Great.
All right. So tell us how you got started. We've got a solid brewer here, Tommy Keegan from Keegan Ales in New York, Dave Broderick from
Very
Blind
cool.
Tiger. So there's
Hello.
Some serious beer guys here.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. Tell us how you got started.
Well, that's a great question. You know, Prairie has been a thing only for just over a year now. I brewed the first batch of beer for it, I think, beginning of September of last year. So things have just been flying kind of crazily, to be honest. Me, myself, I've been a professional brewer for about 5 years now. So Prairie has really just been my kind of first step into kind of having my own brewery. So it's something I think all brewers want to do. And I took the leap, and luckily it's worked out so far.
And Chase, this is Dave. How is the reception in Oklahoma? You're doing some pretty amazing beers, you know, and particularly Saison style. I mean, how did that go over when you first started?
You know, really well. Oklahoma is interesting, and you know, as many people would think, is a young craft beer state. But I think people are very thirsty here for creative beers, just like they are anywhere. So. I don't really honestly believe there was too much, education I had to do. People have kind of known what I've been working on for the past few years, through other projects. And so people were, I think, more or less excited with anything I was going to start working on my own. So to be honest, we sell a ton of beer here in our home state, and people seem to really, really love the stuff that, yeah, we thought maybe they wouldn't, but it seemed to work out.
And how did you meet the Shelton brothers?
Well, that's a fantastic question. Prior to Prairie, I have been working on a brand with a partner called Redbud, and doing a lot of kind of similar beers, but it was something that really wasn't quite my own. And while I was working on it, though, I had Facebooked them. And told them I was interested in potentially selling some beer kind of to a lot of different markets. And they thought that was very cool, but I kind of knew at that point that I wasn't in a position to really make the beer I needed to sell to them. So it was kind of one of those things where they just said, you know, when you're ready for it, get back in touch with us and we'll see what we can do. So I've been kind of talking with them for the past couple of years now, and it's really just been in the past 8 months that we've been able to launch and grow our relationship with them and really get some beer to some pretty cool spots.
Now, I know you were up in up at Shawn Hills in August. A lot of my friends said they saw you there. And did you guys do a collaboration while you were there?
We didn't. It was my first time up there, and obviously that would be fantastic and fun. They were brewing one with Tired Hands while I was there, and I kind of lent a hand, but by no means was involved in any part of that. That was their deal. But, you know, I just felt like I really needed to come up there first and really kind of feel the scene, meet the people, and, you know, jumping into collaborations for the sake of doing them sometimes isn't so great. You know, there needs to be a relationship there first. So, next time, I certainly want to continue going. What a beautiful place to visit if anyone hasn't been there. Oh, my gosh. But really I was more there just to kind of absorb it all and see what was going on in that part of the country.
It's funny, your beers have been, we occasionally from Sean get a keg of your beer at the Worthy Burger, which is further south,
right,
hour and a half further south from Sean, and it's been hugely popular. So please send more.
Yeah, we're trying. I'm literally, I had to come out and sit in my car. I've been filling bourbon barrels all day and got like 40 more to fill, so it's a long day. I'm glad to get a little break to talk to you guys, but you know, we're working as hard as we can to certainly get more beer made.
Hey, I got a question. This is Tommy Keegan here, and when you said initially about a lot of craft brewers having that bug of owning his or her own brewery, I was bitten by that bug obviously as well. I had a degree in brewing science, and I felt like I made good, clean beers, and then I decided to open my own brewery, and I realized that the business of owning a brewery is a lot different than, running a brew house and a mash tun and a kettle.
Yes.
Well, did you have a lot of background in business, or, like, have you gone through the same growing pains, like, you know, realizing that the black pen is more important than the red pen at the end of the day, and... It's really true, and it's a real hard issue that I know a lot of small brewers face.
I think I'm haunted every day with the idea of screwing this whole thing up. So.
Yeah, me too, right.
you know,
okay,
yeah,
I just wanted to make sure I wasn't the only one. No, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'll, Oh my gosh, I think that's the hardest part. Is you start to realize that you're spending more and more time, you know, working on the business end of thing versus really working on your beers, and that can be frustrating but necessary in this whole thing. And it's been quite a bit of a wake up call from kind of how much I want to be in there doing things and getting things done, to where it's just constant coordination and making sure, you know, the beer's going where it needs to, and everything's on track, and it's complicated and hard, for sure.
Well, cheers to you, man.
Thanks.
How about we get with John Rubo, another young up-and-coming brewer from Yonkers Brewing. You want to ask a question of Chase? Because he's like in Oklahoma, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess a big question is, you know, breaking into different markets. That's, as a young brewery, I mean, we just started distributing in January, and we're right here in the middle of New York. You know, primarily focus on Westchester County here, but just north of New York City. But I guess we're just trying to, you know, hey, you got your beer out here, you're moving it around, and what were some of the difficulties you came across, or maybe no difficulties?
I would say we really haven't had a lot of difficulties. To be honest, I think it's more of a philosophy of the styles of beer that we're doing. Forgive me, I'm not familiar, I mean, with your brewery. What kind of beers are you guys producing?
Well, we just started in January, so we're trying to become more of a lager brewery. We want to be known as a lager brewery. And our first beer was a Vienna lager that our brewer Sharif is here today. He kind of just hit the nail on the head for what we were looking for to go to the market. And so it's been well received, but we called our brewery Yonkers Brewing. So Yonkers is the fourth largest city in the state. It's just north of New York. So the name has some appeal. So we were, just curious on some of the barriers you might have hit or not hit, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just really hard to compare, you know, what I would call in your approach of a more traditional brewery versus our approach, where I'm not necessarily looking to replace, say, I want to put my beer, let's say I want to put my beer in New York. I'm not necessarily looking to replace your handle or a Brooklyn handle or anything. I'm looking to, you know, more or less be that, you know, far right handle that's maybe a unique beer that someone wants to, you know, try because it's a little more experimental. But, you know, we're able to expand, I think, into markets because we're trying to more or less give people unique offerings than replace staples that might already exist in the market. So we can be there or we can not be there because maybe we don't have production. It seems to work out okay because we're not, you know, creating a gap in anyone's tap lines or anything. You know, they're just happy when we're there, you know, whatever if we're not.
Hey, Chase, this is Jimmy. Thanks for sending your beers. We were tasting a few of them. Right now I'm drinking the one malt, one hop, one America.
Yeah.
And what was the other one we just had, guys? That one?
Ogie?
Nick, tell us, what is it?
It's the Ogie?
Yeah. So why don't you tell us about those two beers, a little bit about them. Okay.
Very cool. Absolutely. Yeah. Sorry, I'm a bit of a rambler here. But yeah. So
no, I saw you on video, Chase. You look like a rambler. That's okay. But you guys, it's you and Tommy Keegan.
We like ramblers.
Yeah, I'll be the gambler. Jimmy's the rambler.
Sorry. Jimmy's the biggest rambler of all.
Well, let me tell you, America is one of those beers where, you know, I lucked into a whole bunch of Nelson Sauvin hops. And wanted to make a really expressive beer with them, but wanted to really showcase them. So to me, it was to strip down the recipe as plainly as I could. So, you know, just using one malt. And it's kind of a home brewer thing, I guess, to play around with the whole smash beer idea. So I just did it, you know. And so it's a farmhouse beer based on kind of some of our other beers, but hopped more along the lines of an IPA.
It's really nice.
You know, and then conditioned with wine yeast as well as Brettanomyces. So to me, those tropical notes you can get from the Brettanomyces can really complement, you know, the really crazy flavors, fruity, juicy flavors you can get from the Nelson hops. So for me, I was looking for a way more or less to showcase those. The beer's kind of funny in that not a single ingredient in it is American. It's Bohemian Pilsner malt, and then you know, hops from New Zealand. So I guess a bit of a commentary there. But anyways, more or less, we just thought it was a fun beer to do. So, and you'll notice the label work for anyone that's come across it is quite spectacular, I think. And that's credit to my little brother who works on the brand with me. He's responsible for all of our art and everything that is our brand is because of him. So
everybody's going to take pictures of your label. But Chase, you're awesome. Stay on the line with us.
Hey, just to get back to what these Yonkers guys are talking about market penetration and stuff. So you're affiliated with the Shelton Brothers for distribution, is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I've done a couple of beer dinners with those guys, those brothers, at the Culinary Institute more than once, and
they're not opinionated at all. Which
They're not opinionated at all, but they are fun to get drunk with, man. I'll tell you that.
That's for sure.
They really are a bunch of good guys, but you've obviously got a very good, strong partner there, and I just was wondering if you had a comment about the importance of that type of partnership, because I know that's a huge part of my world.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that they've played a significant role in what we're doing. And I think more than anything, you know, the thing that's so great about them is that they were, you know, we had built a little bit of a relationship, but they were still really willing to take a pretty big risk with us because I hadn't released anything before we had kind of agreed to start selling the beers. So I feel like they really, more than anything, stepped up big time in just, you know, taking a chance with me. And that has certainly helped get us into markets. But then I think, in turn, the beer has helped carry us to the next step. They got us to the table, and luckily, I think we're making a good enough product.
Yeah, well, then they got a vested interest to get out there and push your brand, you know.
So it's been a fantastic relationship that I hope we can maintain for a long time.
All right. Well, hey, Chase, if you want to stay on the line with us, you can. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk with more with Tommy Keegan and with the guys from Yonkers Brewing, too. So, hey, we'll be right back in a few minutes here on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
You're listening to Bang Bang Sun by E.G. Dean on the Heritage Radio Network.org. Stay tuned for more from Beer Sessions Radio.
Never drink my beer on.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio. Hey, we got a special guest tonight.
Hey, my name is Tommy Keegan, and you're listening to HeritageRadio.org. The first, I fucked that up. Good thing it's on the internet. But it is the first rock and roll radio station to ever drink my beer on air, so maybe that's why I screwed
up. And Tom, you have a cheers to that, man.
Yo!
And then you brought us some special beers tonight.
Yeah, man.
What was the other one? The Tuttletown Barrel Age something.
Right. First, we brought Mother's Milk. The Tuttletown something. we brought Mother's Milk that was aged in whiskey barrels from our neighboring distillery, Tuttletown Spirits. And we brought a bunch of stuff. I think next we're going to crack open some Super Kitty, which is our 12% barley wine based on our Hurricane Kitty recipe.
That's what we need.
And then
right
now. Maggie,
that's what we need. It's 12% barley wine.
Because it's really cool.
I was going to say, like, it's not hot enough and cramped enough and drunk enough in here. Well, seriously, we're trained professionals. Don't try this at home.
Super Kitty.
I think this is the funnest show we've had in like 7 months or something. I don't know. But and you got the other guys not here. It's like these are the new guys. But I got to meet
talk
you guys.
To the new guys a little bit
recently, and Tom, you're on. I met you guys up in Yonkers. We did a little festival there, and you guys are the first brewery trying to be based in Yonkers. So tell us a little bit how you guys are. You got Nick, you got
Sharif,
the brewer, and John Rubo. Come on, you guys get on the mics and tell us how you guys started, because I actually like your beer. I've had you at Jimmy's Number 43.
Thank
you.
We
did a nice festival in Yonkers, and they were really proud of you. And why not? I mean, Yonkers is the fourth largest city in New York State, so they deserve a brewery. So tell us how you guys came up with the idea. Just tell me about what you guys did. I guess, Nick, go for it.
Sure. I guess in a nutshell, John and I grew up in the same neighborhood. And, you know, two Ginzos from Yonkers. We brewed, we made wine with our grandfathers in the basement for probably 15 years. We still do, thank God. And, you know, one day we made wine and we drank some beers afterwards. And we said, if we're drinking beers, why do we keep making wine? Why don't we try making beer one day? So, just like all the other home brewers.
So really, you guys grew up together? How long have you been friends?
Probably been enemies for just as long as we've been friends. We grew up on in different neighborhoods, bordering neighborhoods, but probably the last 15 years.
I had to jump in. This is what I know about you guys. I was doing a festival in Yonkers, and there's some great people in the community, and they said, you have to work with Yonkers Brewing. If you want to do the event, you have to have Yonkers. And one day we went up to visit the community, and John agreed to pick us up, John Ruba, and drove us out to the Yonkers Raceway, where there's a great new restaurant called Pinch. But the whole thing is that you guys are really tied into the community. I mean, you grew up there. Your father had a pizzeria, right, John?
Yeah, he had a pizzeria right there on Yonkers Avenue, which is across the street from the casino now. And they used to have the Westchester County Fair there, and we used to walk across the street to the county fair and hang out there. And you know, Yonkers was like so many other cities around the country. And it was depressed, and it was trying to come back, and then it hit that snag with the economy. But there's so much going on, and we wanted to commit ourselves to opening in downtown Yonkers. It was right on the train station. So you take the Hudson Line straight up from Grand Central, 25 minutes to the brewery. The location is now 92 Main Street, so we'll be opening up in December. And there's just so much going on down there now. There's buildings popping up. They're bringing this division of IAC, which is from Match.com. So we're going to have these cool, trendy kids in the area. And so there's just so much going on. So we're just looking forward to that.
So if I go to Match.com, I can find a brewery? Is that how it works?
Match.com,
you find a date.
Yonkers and Keegan's. And
look out, Brooklyn. Yonkers is trying to steal your
hipsters. You guys actually make... Wait a minute.
Cheaper.
Right. But you guys make beer too, right?
We do make beer, yeah.
So tell me about your brewer. Who is this guy? Because the first time I ever met him, he doesn't want to talk.
Sharif, well, you know, kind of picking up where I left off, John and I made beer in the backyard, but that just really started the idea in our head, and we knew we weren't brewers. We had an idea of what needed to be brought to market. 95% of beer drinkers still drank Bud Light, Coors Light, Amstel Light, and we wanted to create an approachable beer that a beer drinker could transition into craft. And we knew our neighborhood wasn't where craft needed to be yet, and we could be that beer that kind of bridged the gap from the everyday beer drinker to the craft beer drinker. So we knew we weren't going to be the ones to make it. We had the idea, so we started looking far and wide, and we found Sharif on the Upper West Side. And Sharif trained in Chicago, and... Take it from there.
I'm the quiet one until you start getting me to talk.
Well, just so you know, listeners, Sharif's wearing a Yonkers Brewing Company T-shirt. First of all, you guys have a great logo, and I know you guys are doing great. So first, like, make other brewers, new breweries, you're making your beer somewhere else. Where are you guys making your beer right now?
So right now we're making our beer at Thomas Hooker, and, you know, Sharif was integral in the whole process, came up with the recipe, and he's there very often making sure everything's... to where he wants it to be.
Yeah, one of the things that we wanted to make sure is when we were looking at the industry, we said, look at how many successful breweries started as contracts. And not to, you know, Tommy obviously started his own and was very successful, but we looked at like a company like Brooklyn, you know, and how successful they were. But we realized that quality was so important to us. We didn't want to make, you know, crappy beer and put it out there and ruin the name of craft. It's important for us that we had something.
We have some other friends. There's another new label called Radiant Pig, our good buddies. They're also making it Thomas Hooker. And, you know, it's kind of neat. There's a lot of interesting breweries that are able to make beer for other people. And, Tommy, why don't you comment on that? Because in some ways there's more labels than ever, and this is a cool scene, man. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, we've just partnered recently with a new brewery called Two Roads in Connecticut. If you guys are out in Connecticut and you get a chance to swing past Stratford, it's worth a trip swinging in there. It's beautiful. They spent I don't know how much money they spent, but it's and I've got and, trust me, I've got brewery
and Phil Markowski, you know, from,
and they, right, yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
And Dave, you're buddies with them, aren't
you? Yeah. Phil's a great brewer. Not too many years ago at the Great American Beer Festival, he was named the Brewer of the Year. Mm-hmm. He used to run Southampton, and now is running that place. And they are running a great, really first-class operation, big, big brewery. And I'm doing some work with them just because Mother's Milk is our largest brand. So we make all of our beer in-house for draft. We make all of our bottles in draft. With the exception of Mother's Milk, we just physically can't keep up with it. So those guys make it for us. And I feel so confident putting my beer in Phil Markowski's hands. You know, I just have a lot of faith in him. I've known him for 20 years probably.
His quality control is great. And it's because of the size of that brewery, the prices, I noticed Stillwater, who brews there, and Evil Twin, their prices really dropped as soon as they switched there. So clearly it's a better deal for
you guys. Yeah, they've got an economy of scale that I can't really compete with. Right. So it's great doing business with those guys. And the guys at Thomas Hooker that, you know, Yonkers does business with are equally great. It's just that there's been so many brands that they are at 100% capacity when I was looking for a partner. And luckily my buddy Phil Markowski called me up. And I also know his boss, the owner, Brad Hiddle, from just another connection. We just happen to know each other randomly. And there's a lot of contract brewing coming out now, and it's not all bad. You know, a lot it kind of gets a stigma sometimes, and my sales force has to battle that a little bit. It says, you know, I know your brewery's in Kingston, but how come this says Stratford, Connecticut on the bottle? It's still my bottle, it's still my recipe, you know, just made in a different town, but it's kind of a necessary evil, you know.
I'm gonna throw in the word authenticity. I think that if, you know, there's some guys with money and they just make a marketing brand and they have somebody make it. And that's
I have guys that come to me that are looking to build a brand, and I mean, I don't have any capacity, but so the answer is no, no matter what. But they're already through the label before we even discuss what the beer's going to taste like. You know, like, we'll worry about that later. You know, it's like, I got this great bottle label and I got this great name, and it's like, all right, well, maybe you should think about the liquid first.
I mean, so, you know, on our end, on the retail end, there's still, you know, every year some distributors say, hey, we've got this really cheap beer from, you know, some unnamed brewery. We can put your label on it, you know, and it's you can call it, you know, whatever, your bar's beer. And, we never did that.
Yeah, but if you want to make something, you know, if you have your brand and you're ready to go and you don't know what to do, then you can make iced tea. You don't have to make beer.
Right, yeah, it doesn't have to be beer.
Let's talk about Sharif. You guys have a guy from Siebel Institute. So there's not that many. We're winding up. The show's ending, but we have a lot to talk about. This is going to be like the two-hour show, guys.
It's going to be a good party at dinner tonight, I think.
And we hang out afterwards at Roberta's here in Bushwick. So this conversation is going on for hours. If you're out there, come over to Roberta's. We're going to have dinner for like two more hours. But Sharif is from Siebel Institute.
That's right.
And Tommy went to UC Davis. And, you know, there's like that American brewing thing up in Vermont. But there's not that many, you know, places to learn how to brew in America. So, Sharif, you tell us what you learned, and then Tom will tell us what he learned at his school. How about that?
You know, well, going to Siebel was a decision that I made because, you know, I had been brewing since I was about 18 years old. Back then, you know, I was basically making beer better than anything I could buy, for the most part. There were very few breweries around, and it was something that I stuck with for, you know, for the past almost 15 years, and I really enjoyed it. And I had reached a point where I was thinking about life's too short to not do what you like. And I was like, what's the best way to actually get in and start, you know, doing this, making beer professionally? And I had had a lot of conversations with brewers in New York. You know, I'd spoken with Shane Welsh at Six Point and Craig and Evan, who are now the guys at Barrier. And I just came to the conclusion that, you know, in order to actually succeed in what I wanted to do, I needed a formal education so that we're all on the same plane in terms of vocabulary and understanding the process. And as much as I thought I knew, it turned out that there was a lot more I had to learn. And that was an amazing opportunity in the sense that I really got to understand from the smallest scale brewery to the largest brewery what's involved in brewing, you know, and the other amazing thing out of that opportunity was the connections I made in the industry. So I was trying to figure out, you know, I was trying to figure out what I was going to do for my next step once I finished studying. And just spending those months in Chicago, you know, being in an environment with another 50 people that were interested in brewing, that my next opportunity presented myself, you know, presented itself to me almost immediately.
So, and since you're on that tack, I want to ask you this. So you guys are brewing mostly with Thomas Hooker. How does that work? Because I know you've got recipes, you guys are hands-on, and that's a great brewery too. So like, what day-to-day, what do you do when you brew beer with Thomas Hooker?
Well, the Vienna Lager, which is our main beer, I probably went through about 10 different iterations of this beer on a small-scale system. We brewed at my friend's system, Jason Bulin, who's now the head brewer for the 49th State Brewing Company up in Denali, Alaska.
Yeah, Jason's been on our show. We know Jason very well. Yeah.
And I also brewed with John LaPaula and Doug at Bitter and Esters. And, you know, we tried changing up our grist. We tried changing up our yeast. And, you know, I think after about 10 versions, we finally reached a version of the beer that we were very happy with. And, you know, we brought all of our specifications up to Thomas Hooker. And, you know, we go through, and every time we brew with them, you know, nobody's going to brew better on their system than the people that run it. So when we go up there, we trust the expertise to them, but they're, you know, going out and brewing our vision. And that's the beauty of that sort of relationship. They have the expertise, they have the scale, and they are very faithful to what we originally conceived.
All right. Well, I know we're going to wrap up soon, but I really love what you guys are doing. Nick, say something quick.
You know, quickly, to Tommy's point, it's, you know, sometimes contract brewing gets a stigma, but a place like Hooker allows people like us to get our feet on the ground and to build a tasting room and a manufacturing facility in downtown like we're going to have in December. Without Hooker, we wouldn't be able to get to that point. We're self-distributing. We're in about 130 bars in New York right now because we're doing it out of our pickup truck, and you know, by Hooker allowing us to get to that point, we're able to get our feet on the ground and start making it ourselves in-house, and you know, taking it from there. So they allowed us to build a foundation that we currently have to as a jump-off point.
And I think that, you know, what's going on with contract brewing, I think it's going through with places like Two Roads and Thomas Hooker, and then, you know, Daniel Lanigan now is trying to build like the ultimate contract brewery, you know, to his specifications. I think contract brewing is definitely going through a change, and that's going to really help that business model a lot.
Tommy?
Oh, are we still on contract brewing?
Oh, no.
Switch it up.
You know what? He's a Siebel guy.
All right. Siebel versus UC Davis.
Yeah, right.
Notre Dame, Michigan. Let's go.
That's like the Army-Navy game.
Do you guys play football?
No, I don't think so.
You know, my experience was different where I was thinking I was going to be a biochemist and then looking for grad school. And I was a home brewer. And then in biochemistry, you kind of have to go on to grad school unless you want to be a lab rat. So I was looking for grad schools and found – and I was at I was living in San Francisco at the time. So I was at San Francisco State. And then I found this degree that I could get a master's program in brewing science. And it kind of like shook my head and baffled me. And I was just lucky enough to – score a summer job at the Anchor Brewing Company, and then I was off to grad school and never had to go to work since. But not to change the subject, and I know we got to wrap up, but is that Prairie guy still on the phone? Is he with us still?
Chase!
Yeah.
Chase, right. You still there?
Chase! He's still there. Chase! Everybody say Chase! Everybody say Chase!
Chase. Hey, we just wanted to say that we're just drinking right now. We're passing around your bomb.
All right.
That shit is the bomb, man. That is a great coffee beer.
Really good. Yeah. And then Chase is
completely off point, but
now Tommy and Jeff.
Equally delicious.
Tommy and Jeff. So one thing that was a big part tonight was you guys made a beer called Super Kitty. We brought the 2011. You brought the 2012. Just give us a quick overview of that beer because Super Kitty is pretty awesome. And is it age worthy? That's my other question.
Well, yeah, it is totally age worthy. Yeah, we have about, 8 years now?
Nine.
Nine?
Well, this year will be our ninth year
making it. and it, this beer ages extremely well. It's all bottle conditioned, and I believe Maggie brought some 2011. No, I see you out there. Do you have it?
She's not.
Can
sharing.
She bring it into us?
She is no? not sharing.
But we were just tasting the 2012 Super Kitty. We make it with local honey. Most of the honey, which is made on the roof of our brewery, we have about nine beehives now.
Yeah, nine beehives.
And we have a very unique flavor from our honey. I've never tasted honey like it before, to be honest. But anything we can't source from our brewery, we get from another local a local apiarist that has trained our apiarist.
Yeah, right. One of our cooks in our kitchen is been keeping bees since he was like 12 years old. He's so at least 30 years or more. So we're lucky enough to have him kind of oversee it. And it's fun because he takes us around and we put the hood on and we, you know, hold bees in our hands. And but then he actually does the work of extracting the honey.
Yeah, our bees are so friendly. People are scared of the bees, but they're really friendly.
Yeah, I have a pit bull and it's very friendly too.
Yeah, so I think we're breaking out the 2011 right now. Which
oh,
is,
snap.
Which look, is, it's a 2011 from Jimmy's number 43.
Oh, Jimmy.
And
yeah,
I had it a couple of months ago. So the fresh one.
Popping
could
bottles.
You, hear that?
You tell me. So tell me, the fresh one hits me like it's fresh and it doesn't taste as strong as it is.
Jimmy, this is a year old.
Well, that was 2012. What year is it?
Well, 2012 in
it's
November.
It's 2013, Jimmy.
So what about 2011?
Just so you know.
2011?
Yeah, honestly, what I found with this beer is the older it gets, the more it mellows out, and the less you feel the ABV of it.
But
until
do you think,
the next morning.
And also, yeah. This is we're going to check this out. You can check out our Twitter, @beer_sessions, because this is going on all night. We're going to be tasting. First of all, these beers come in 1-liter bottles that look like mini growlers. So that's a whole other thing, and we're going to have to talk to Jeff and Tommy about this. But the 2011, I opened a couple months ago, and it does change and evolve, and it's cool seeing you guys, great brewers, making beers that evolve too. So
thank you.
We're drinking that now. We're having fun.
We're pouring it. We're pouring it on each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really exciting.
So
super kitty showers.
You know, yeah.
I'm naked
it's
right
more
now.
Craft beer than ever. Well, actually,
you can
Tommy
do that
is.
On radio.
Tommy is, and if you want to see more about Tommy, just check out @beer_sessions because there's gonna be a lot of photos tonight. We're hanging out here, so
God, I hope nobody's
okay. His girlfriend tonight.
Look, and I think John Rubo, this guy from Yonkers. You know, these guys. What I'm finding, and we've said this before, in every little community now, yeah, everybody's opening a great little brewery, and it's like, why not buy your local brewery? I think everybody is. We don't think we have to convince anybody that that's the fact. But again, in Vermont, you guys need more breweries in Vermont, man.
We
right.
Do.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Sure. Why not?
Well, we can bring some Mother's Milk up to Vermont.
Thank you.
That shouldn't be a problem.
That would be really nice.
Yeah.
We would appreciate that.
Awesome.
We don't really have a good milk stout up there, so I think there's a lot of room.
You won't be able to say that for long.
And then Cherie. So for Yonkers and Cherie, so you guys have, I've had your lager. I really like your Belgian ale. What's the beer that what's your favorite of all the Yonkers beers right now?
You know, I really love our stout on nitro. It's just, it tastes like chocolate milk.
Uh-oh.
No. And Dave, when you're up in Vermont and you only get to choose from Lawson's Finest and Hill Farmstead, and
so
everyone here in New York thinks that's so cool, like what beer do you wish you had when you're in Vermont?
Anywhere in the world. Now I want the three. I want Hedy, I want
you got a pretty good
Double Sunshine, and I want whatever Sean Hill makes.
And
that's pretty good. But it's hard to get. I mean, to be honest with you, it's like it's very hard to get those beers. Unless you go to the breweries, you can't get them.
Where the fuck is Worthy Kitchen? Like, it's in Vermont somewhere.
Where the fuck?
It's in the sticks.
But
it's,
where?
It's in Woodstock, Vermont.
Is it Woodstock, Vermont?
Yeah. It's
not to be confused with Woodstock, New York.
No.
We already took Woodstock.
Yeah. No, you guys. Yeah. Or Woodstock Brewing.
Yeah.
And there is a Woodstock Brewing in New Hampshire, actually.
Yeah, Woodstock Inn. That's right. Yeah.
Right. And so not confusing. To be confused with any of those.
But Worthy Kitchen.
Woodstock, the festival.
Somewhere. I have friends that say in Vermont somewhere.
I'm not going to tell you where it is, man. It's a secret.
Really?
That's what makes
Wait,
it cool.
Dave. Worthy something.
He doesn't want to be found.
All right.
No.
Guys, the time has come. I'd like to thank our sponsors at GreatBrews.com who have helped to bring this podcast to you tonight. Brew Sessions Radio is supported by the Good Brew Seal. You can find Brew Sessions Radio on our Facebook fan page, Brew Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Thank you for Jeff. It's again, Jeff, read off this one. Your name is what?
Hello, my name is Jeff Wenzel from Keegan Ales, and I am at Heritage Radio, which is a old shipping container, which is nice enough for me to live in.
And you can check us out on iTunes. First, a big shout-out to our longtime producer and co-founder, Bree O'Connor. We love you so
Yay,
much.
Bree.
Without you, there'd be no show. You're awesome. And thanks again to John, Jeff, Tommy, Dave, Nick, Sharif. What, Sharif?
Happy birthday, Dave Goldstein. He'd be pissed off if I didn't do it.
All right. And I miss both Tommy, everybody. And we're cool for joining me on the Heritage Radio Network. Chase, too. Thanks, buddy. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Jack Inslee, Brie O'Connor, engineer Joe Galarraga. Thanks so much. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Yeah. Woo. We're back,
guys. Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website, or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.